Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
We are back for another episode of Pastor Please, and this is number 7 in the series, episode 183.
So we've already knocked out 7 of these things. So we got 5 more, 6 more. How many did you say we had left?
It was like 5.
4 or 5 more. So there's a bunch of these things. What we're doing, Pastor Please is what it is. That's P-L-E-A-S, no E on the end. This is not me... Well, I guess it is me begging you, but not like, I don't know. When you say Pastor Please, sometimes I feel like it's going like Pastor Please.
Like girl please.
Yeah, girl please, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is like please of a pastor or pleads of a pastor. Like,
yes.
This is how I would summarize it. For the love of God, please don't do these things. Love your pastor, right? dear person, please, for the love of God, don't do these things or do these things, but most of them are don't do. Signed, sincerely, your pastor. Matter of fact, Steph walked in today, right before we recorded. We always spend some time talking, catching up, and talking about what we're going to do. And you walked in, and I was like, this is the perfect Pastor Please day, because I just walked out of a meeting with some people. I'm obviously not going to say their names or what we were talking about. And it was one of those meetings where I was sitting in there going very, very forwardly, please don't do this. Please, for the love of God, do not make this decision and go down this road that you're about to go down. Please don't do this. This is not going to end well. It's not going to go well. And that's kind of what we're talking about in the series, right? It's this idea that, look, I know there are manipulative pastors out there. I get it. But for the most part, for the vast majority, nobody's going into this line of work unless they love and care for people and they really feel this calling on their life to be a shepherd. And a shepherd's calling is not a real, it's not a glamorous calling at all. There are some glamorous parts of ministry, but for the most part, it's just down and dirty. And most people are, most pastors are going to go into this, you know, ministry leaders, people that care to disciple you, even if they're not professionals, like spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, people that are caring to disciple you. They really do care. Right. And so that's the standpoint of the series is the reason we're begging you, pleading with you not to do these things is because we don't want you to walk down these common pitfalls. And there are some serious common pitfalls that we see repeated all the time. And that's kind of what we've been bringing up in the series. And so this, like Steph said, this is number 7. We've hit a bunch of them. I'm going to go through them real quick. So if you hadn't listened to them, you know, one of them intrigues you, you can go back and listen. Because I don't think everybody's listening to every episode all the time. So maybe you just stumbled into this one. So 177 was get counseling earlier than you think. 178 was quit being so fearful of doubts. 179 was don't church hop. Please, for the love of God, don't church hop. We talked about why, and that's not good. And 180 was don't get married without premarital counseling. 181 was read your Bible. Like, don't let the only Bible you read be read to you or read off some screen in church, but actually be in the Word. That's not me bashing digital Bible. I don't mean you got to be in a paper Bible. You can read it on your phone, but you need to personally read the Bible is what we were saying in that episode. And then the last one was 182, which was don't date a person who doesn't share your faith, caveat, at close to the same level that you have. And we got pretty deep into that, and that's one that people don't like to hear because it sounds like you're being exclusive.
And judgmental.
But I'm just telling you, from a pastor who has been with lots of people through marriage crises and marriages and weddings and all those things, don't even date somebody that is not at the same, doesn't carry the same faith that you carry. You're just setting yourself up for disaster. And so that's kind of what we've been talking through the series. So today we've got another one we want to hit. And in this recording session, Steph and I are going to record 184 as well, the next one that comes up. And then we got a few more left before we move on from the series. This series should take us through the first of the year. Mm-hmm. So whatever we're doing next, which we have no idea we're doing, will be after the holidays. So I don't also for you guys that listen frequently, We will not be taking a break for the Thanksgiving week. We're actually recording that one tonight. But we will take a break Christmas or New Year's, right around that time. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm pretty sure that New Year's Day is a Wednesday. And so we won't have a podcast come out on that day. We'll take a break and celebrate the new year and all that kind of stuff. But that's sort of the plan. So this series will take us on through the rest of the year and lead us into 2025. Can't believe I'm even
what
saying
that. What the world?
My baby girl graduates in 2025. That's she is class of 2025. And I never thought that day would get here. Like when she was born in 2007, I never thought I would see the day that her, you know, that, that she graduates and turns 18 and all that stuff in 2025. Insanity. So I'm not quite ready for that, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So today, which one are we hitting today, Steph? Pastor, please, which one is it?
Share your faith more often.
Yes. Please, for the love of God, open your mouth and share your faith in Jesus more often. Mm-hmm. We are seriously diminishing the power of the Holy Spirit and the transformative work that the gospel is intended to do and will accomplish through the mouths of regular old everyday Christians. There's this weird thing now. I mean, it's been growing for a long time, especially in American culture. But there's this weird thing now that we just kind of assume that people get led to Christ by us getting them to some pastor who preaches the gospel real well. And that's sort of like, we've sort of kind of walked into this model of, well, that's God's plan. God's plan is for somebody's multiple people, pastors, preachers, those folks, like through YouTube, through Facebook Reels, through Tic Tacs, through church services, for those platforms to get bigger and bigger and those voices to get louder and louder, because they're the ones that are really good at sharing the gospel and reaching people. Those are the ones that are gifted at it. And so we end up going, well, the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, the book writers, the influencers, those are the people that should be sharing their faith. And so there's this sort of unwritten model that is sort of happening that, and I don't think we meant for this to happen, but it's happening. And now we've embraced it. That the goal is the way we bring people to Christ is to get them to listen to one of those people who would then lead them to Jesus, present the gospel. And I'm just trying to tell you that if you will read your scripture, specifically the New Testament and specifically with regard to the church, so starting with the ascension of Jesus and Acts, the Acts of the early church, and then all the way through the letters, the Pauline letters, Peter letters, John letters, like all those, you will see that that is not God's plan. That's never been God's plan. It might actually even be against God's plan for us to say that platforms are supposed to get bigger. And that's the way the gospel is going to reach the world. No, that's not. That's not God's plan. God's plan has always been to use everyday, ordinary Christians to share their faith with others and reach people with the gospel. That's always been the plan. And every time we start to focus in on more of, well, no, the professionals do it, we're getting away from God's plan. And most of the people listening, I'm getting your grill for a minute, all right? Most of the people listening, you do not share your faith very often. And as a pastor, I am constantly feeling like I need to tell you, open your mouths and share your faith in the circles that you find yourself in more often than you could ever think. You need to be doing this all the time. And you have more power than you realize. You have more influence than you realize. And a lot of those people, if your plan is that they got to get in front of some pastor who's going to lead them to Jesus, that's probably not going to happen. In an increasingly unchristian world that we live in, right? Increasingly, the people's patterns of now going to church are getting smaller and smaller, mm-hmm. right? But Christians seeing themselves as missionaries, right, mm-hmm. into their workplace, into their schools, into their peer groups, in their apartment complexes, in their neighborhoods or whatever, that method is growing increasingly. And you being able to actually speak and influence the people around you is greater than it has ever been for them to listen to you about your faith versus listen to some pastor. Like, so recently there was a study. This study happens all the time, but there was a study about 20 so years ago 20, right at the turn of the century, so right around 2000, so that'd be 25 years, that 7 out of 10 people believed that pastors were trustworthy, right? And that same exact study that just happened again finds that 3 out of 10 people find that pastors are trustworthy. That's heartbreaking to
it
me
is.
Personally. Personally, it's heartbreaking. But if you read between the lines, what you've got to realize is that people have, in America, people have an increasingly distrust in institutions, right? The institution of government, institutions of schools, right? Institutions in general. They're decreasingly trusting in institutions, and that includes the church. They more and more have less respect and trust for the institution of church. Also, the institution of or the position of the seat of pastor. And before we go going, oh, they shouldn't do that. They should trust the church. They should trust the pastor. Well, we've given them lots of reasons not to as well. So, I mean, the amount of corruption that's happened in the church, the amount of sexual cover-ups that have happened in not just Catholicism, but Southern Baptist Convention, I mean, all kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The amount of pastors who fall from grace and the amount of pastors involved in sexual scandals and abuse of people and power and resources and all. I mean, we've given them a reason to distrust us as an institution, as a church body, and as pastors, right? But what you need to see between the lines is if that's the case, what that means is that people are much more likely to give credence to you and your personal testimony of you sharing your faith than they are to me as a pastor sharing mine, especially from stage, right? People will listen to you. And we shouldn't be surprised by that because that's always been God's plan. God's plan has always been to use the regular, old, everyday, ordinary person for this. We're in the middle of a teaching series right now, so it's hot on my mind. A teaching series through, I can't remember what we call it. We're calling it Second String. Yeah, Second mm-hmm. String. It's about the second string, no-name characters that you find in the book of Acts. And why in the world does Luke point out so many of them? And so Luke's giving you this decades worth of history of the early church, and he leaves out a lot, and he covers a lot. And the question is why does he leave out what he leaves out, and why does he cover what he covers? And so he leaves out a lot of significant stuff, like Peter disappears halfway through, right? Even though we know he's not dead, and why does that happen? But then also, Luke includes all of these no-name people that he references all the way through. And if you'll read between the lines, you'll see that they have some significant places that they rise into and share the gospel. And they're just regular old people, right? That's always God's plan. And I think that we have got to figure out as Christians how you and I all individually bear the responsibility of sharing the gospel. I had some people come up to me. You know, this has happened lots of times over the years, but they'll say something about, you know, we'll talk about how many people got saved, how many people got baptized, stuff like that, celebrate those things, which we should, right? Because what gets celebrated gets replicated, by the way. So whatever you celebrate in your life, you tend to repeat. Same thing in a church, right? What we celebrate gets repeated, gets replicated. Anyway, and they'll say stuff like, you know, you're so gifted at this, you're so talented at this, and they'll say things like, well, you know, I'm praying for you because there's so much pressure on you. If I can be real right now, the only reason that there's pressure on people in leadership and professional settings like this to reach people with the gospel and pressure because the, you know, interest in Christianity, the church, those things is dwindling is because there ain't enough pressure on you. That's why, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs to bear responsibility for sharing the gospel. Everybody needs to bear responsibility
absolutely.
For sharing the gospel. And what you tend to let get in your way is stuff like, well, I'm not that eloquent, right? I don't speak well about these things. Well, that's never mattered.
Okay, look, Moses.
Moses, right? The stutterer, right?
Sorry,
I shouldn't have made fun. But I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that there's tons of those people, if you look through Scripture. They're all over the place. I mean, Peter, who becomes this person right in the early church who preaches this amazing message and thousands of people come to Jesus, just before was about the least qualified candidate you would ever want for that job.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you read your Bible. Like, that's not an excuse. As a matter of fact, it might actually help you. If you are just genuinely you. Steph and I talk about this a lot personally, the need to be genuinely who we are.
Yeah.
If you are just genuinely you, and yes, you may stumble over your words, yes, we may never, but you have this faith you want to share, I think people might be more interested, especially following these stats, more interested in listening to you because it seems authentic and real than somebody who's a polished speaker, mm-hmm. right? And they polished it up just perfectly and they got it exactly right. Like, I don't think it's a disadvantage that you can't articulate these things well. I think it's an advantage. I don't think you should use the excuse of, well, you know, I don't know the word well. So what?
You can right? start.
So what? Figure it out together with that person you're talking about.
True.
And you don't have to know the word fully to understand the fact that you believe and follow Jesus. Like, I'm going to throw this out there. This is not a popular statement amongst educated church circle people, right? There'll be people that disagree with this. But, you know, this idea of I don't know the Bible. Well, the entirety of the early church, right, the Jewish ones knew the Old Testament scripture, but not all of them knew it that well because a lot of them were excluded from knowing it and learning it. But they knew that. But the Gospels didn't exist when a church takes off, right? So these are just stories that they're sharing together until they actually get written. When they're sharing their faith in Jesus, they're not sharing their faith in Jesus and pointing out exactly how they know this in the Bible. They'll point to Old Testament-related things and prophecies that happen and those things that point to the Messiah, but they're not pointing to the exact words of Jesus that they quote from Matthew chapter 2 because they didn't have that mm-hmm. back then, right? The foundation of your faith is not the Bible. I'm not denigrating the Bible anyway. The foundation of your faith is not the Bible. The foundation of your faith is an empty tomb, right? It's a historical event that actually happened. And then as you talk about your faith, it's not Bible verses that back all that up. It definitely deepens your understanding and gives you more thorough knowledge, and the ability to explain all those things, right? For sure. But you sharing your faith comes from your personal journey, which probably doesn't have a whole lot to do with the amount of scripture you can regurgitate, right?
Right.
And from what I have experienced in the last 30, 40 years, most people in a personal one-on-one conversation about their faith is not looking for you to sit there and regurgitate scripture back to them. What they're looking for is you to be honest and authentic about why you believe what you believe. And why that affects your life, why that makes you do and live the things that you live, see the world the way you see the world, and why you would even care to talk to them about it. The hope that you have, right? The hope that you have, the joy that you have, the peace that you have, right? People are looking for that personal part, not for you to regurgitate scripture to them in the first place. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that at all, right? Good apologetics. Good witness and testimony should be, you should understand history, you should understand science, you should understand scripture, for sure, right? But what people are really looking for is your own personal testimony. So you can come up with this idea of, well, I don't speak well. Who cares? Matter of fact, the worse you speak, the maybe better off. I don't know scripture. Who cares, right? The early Christians didn't. Matter of fact, go a little further on that thought. The early Christians who were Greek-speaking, the Hellenistic Jews of the time and Greek-speaking people, that a lot of them converted to Judaism and then converted to Christianity, and then also just the people who we would call Gentiles, they didn't have a biblical background in the Old Testament, and they also didn't have a biblical background in the New Testament because it wasn't wrote yet, right? So it was all, I have encountered Jesus. This is who I know Jesus to be, and sharing that faith story without regurgitating scripture. Don't use that as an excuse, right?
Right.
Don't use the excuse of, well, the people around me don't want to talk about these things. Totally not true. Not true at all. Not true at all. We may live in a society right now that is increasingly towards what we call the nuns, no religious affiliation, none. But the interest of talking about things spiritual is really high right now.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me people don't want to talk about those things. It's not true. Plus, people also are always going to have people problems. There's going to always be problems of loneliness, feeling insignificant, life's purposes, right? What's the point of this? issues and problems and catastrophes and tragedies that come up, right? And they're looking for understanding and all those things. And you can bring that to the table with your hope talk, right? Don't tell me people aren't interested in it. That is a cop-out and a farce. It's a lie from the enemy that says people aren't interested in talking about these things. Plus, what we should know as Christians, too, is that deep down, there is a yearning in the soul of every human being,
mm-hmm.
right? A deep down yearning in the soul of every human being that says I'm a part of God, right? And that there's something bigger. There's something like, that's why everybody wrestles with this question at different times mm-hmm. in life of there's got to be something more than this. I don't know anybody who hasn't wrestled with that question or continues to wrestle with what else is there? There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. What's the point of life? What's the point of these circumstances? And those things are ways in which people are desperately wanting to talk about things that are bigger. And it's around you all the time, right? And also, the more you invest in someone's life personally, the more likely you are to be able to have deep conversations about those things, right? Also, let's quit forgetting the fact that the Holy Spirit brings people into our lives intentionally all the time, right? So we have to be willing to say, you know, I mean, what would it look like if every day we woke up with, instead of, all right, I got to do this today, got to do this today, got to do this today. Well, of course you do. It's life, right? I got this to do at work, I got this to work. Hold on. God, the people that come into my life that you want me to talk to today, help me be Jesus. Help me talk Jesus. Help me look like Jesus. Help me, you know, put me in those situations. It'll be different. I started this about a decade ago. One of my mentors said, you should pray through your calendar every day. And so
that's cool.
All the appointments that are already on there and all the ones that are not, right? Because there's always empty space in a calendar. You stop and you go, God, here's a calendar for the day. Help me see the opportunities you put in front of me in these meetings with these people and in between them, right? Wherever I go. So we see a trip to the grocery store as an opportunity to live out the gospel, right? We see a trip to the gas station as a chance to live out the gospel, you know? And also, let's also remember that it's not just about sharing your faith and your story is also not just about you using words. There's a lot of actions and life lived involved in those things too. And we have to know and trust and hand over to the Holy Spirit. The way I live my life is going to open doors to share the gospel with somebody, right? But we got to quit minimalizing the role of a regular person in sharing the gospel.
Agreed.
You know, and so we have a verse for you. We haven't had a verse in a little while on this series. 1 Peter 3:15. We just talked about this in youth ministry last week. It's a premise. We're doing a series in youth ministry on apologetics, and it's a premise that's carrying through that whole thing. Read that for us, Steph.
1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
So Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer. Some of the translation will say a defense or defend
mm-hmm.
why you have the hope you have, right? And then, of course, it says, I love the fact that it ends at the end, but you better be gentle and you better be respectful. So it's this command that every Christian should be prepared to be able to talk about and share why they follow Jesus and why they have the hope that they have. You know, the hope that no matter who gets elected, God's still in control, right? Mm-hmm. The hope that even when these catastrophes and tragedies come along, God still loves us, life's still available to us, you know, all those things. Like, you be able to defend, explain, give an answer to why you have this hope. Everybody should be prepared to do that, but you do it with gentleness and respect. When he says this verse, by the way, the context of this is that he's talking about suffering. And then when he finishes this, he's talking about suffering. It's persecution, this persecution, right? So what he's really saying is you be prepared to share your faith even in a hostile environment, even in an environment that is hostile towards Christianity. Do we live in a country that is increasingly more hostile towards it? Well, probably, although I think that is blown way out of proportion. Let's be real. For the most part, we as Christians in America ain't being persecuted, okay? Persecution's a whole different ballgame than somebody being annoyed with you or don't want to listen to you or marginalizing you. That's a whole different ballgame. We got brothers and sisters being persecuted across the world. Go ask them if what we experience in America is persecution for our faith. They'd laugh at that sentiment, right? I mean, we got brothers and sisters all across the world who are being killed for it, murdered for it, not allowed to get jobs. I mean, all kinds of things, right? We ain't experiencing that. So let's just be real.
Yeah. But
that's the context he's saying it. It's even in a hostile environment, be prepared and ready to share your faith. And that verse is not towards the professionals, right? That's mm-hmm. not towards the that's towards every single Christ follower. You got to be ready to share, give an answer, give a defense, explain why you have this hope, right? And I just think it's crucial for us to know that. So I got a couple of things I want to give you before we wrap up. What do you think so far, Steph? Good?
Yeah? I think it's great.
All right. I got a couple things I want to give you as far as sharing your faith. These are five things. So number one, understand that your own life is a great part of your witness, right? So actually how you live your life matters a whole lot more than really what you say, but it also either bolsters what you say or it takes away from what you say, right? Mm-hmm. So how you live your life, the kindness, the respect, the gentleness, like it mentioned in that verse, mm-hmm. that you give to people, also who you present yourself to be. We were just talking about this recently. So like if online you're a super Christian and in person you're a jerk, right? If online you're a super Christian and in person you're living this jacked up non-Christ lifestyle, then that greatly affects your witness and how you would share your faith, right? It's going yeah. to be to the detriment of you sharing your faith. Because what people look at is they go, well, this person believes in Jesus, but their life don't look no different than mine. So why would I want that, right? They don't seem to have a different hope like that verse references or a different level of integrity. Mm-hmm. Their moral fortitude is much lower than mine. So, you know, they don't seem to be that good of a person. How you live your life has a lot to do with opening doors for you to share your faith, right? So if you're the person who's kind and respectful and gentle, you meet needs, you care for people, you love them, you don't tear them down. They're different, they're weird, they got different stuff going on, but you respect them and love them and don't judge them, aren't trying to correct them, right? You're not beating them over the head with the Bible. You live this life. That will invite opportunities for you to share your faith, right? You appear genuine and real and gentle and respectful. People are going to want to listen to you, especially when they got problems. So first one, realize that your life's a great big part of you sharing your story and your faith. Number two, realize that we earn the right to be heard by sincerely listening to others, right? If you want somebody to actually hear you and what you have to say, you earn that by being willing to listen to what they have to say. So somebody starts spouting off some anti-Christian thing and you immediately just jump into defense mode, you're not setting up a spot for you to actually be heard, right? Because you didn't actually listen to them, right? And so you'd be surprised how many times people would be talking to me somewhere and they'll share all kinds of stuff and they don't know that I'm a pastor, right? And so I'm not sitting there going, you're horribly wrong. I can't speak to you. I have to get away from you, right? I disagree with what you say and I don't listen to them. I just listen to them. And then a little while later, they'll realize I'm a pastor and then they'll be like, oh my God. But because I listen to them and respect them, they want to hear what I have to say at that point. So remember that you earn the ability to be heard by people by you being the one who initiates being willing to listen to them. Those are two big things in sharing your faith. If you, and I've got three more, but if you pay attention to what your life says, not just your words, you'll have the ability to speak. And if you also listen to people, they will want to listen to you, right? Mm-hmm. Number three. Recognize that people are looking for a cure. They don't know it, but something's broken. They feel it. They are looking for a cure. They are not looking for a diagnosis as much as they are a cure. If you get diagnosed with cancer, you're looking for a cure, right? You're not looking for something to just make the day better. You're looking for a fix. And the brokenness that we all have in our lives and people experience this, they don't know Christ, but the brokenness they have in their lives, they're looking for something that cures this, that fixes it, not something that just makes a day. But they're not looking for, how do I say this? They're not looking for Christian wisdom to be the best you, right? They're looking for the cure of the real problem, the real issue, the real deep down issue. And you got to remember that. And that's why you always are driving this thing back to the hope that is in Jesus, not here's a good way to be a good little Christian, right? Here's a good way to, you know, it's not about Christian wisdom nuggets. It's about the fact that the heart is searching for, longing for a cure to be fixed and made new. And we say that we have that. We hold that. We understand it. We know what it is. And we've been given that responsibility. So remember that. Here's number four. Keep it simple. This don't have to be something real difficult, right? You don't have to get somebody to understand every single point of, you know, appropriate Protestant Christian theology to be able to share the gospel with them. Keep it simple, right? You and I need Jesus. We can't save ourselves. He saved me. This is how he saved me. He can save you too, right? This is what it looks like to be a part of the family of God. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like to be saved. Keep this thing simple, right? Share your story. Share your testimony, right? Talk about how this happened to you, not just here's the seven steps you have to take to be saved. Talk about what happened in your life, right? But keep it really, really simple. You don't have to overcomplicate this thing. You don't got to be bringing up some big old theological terms, right? All that stuff's confusing. Nobody's looking for that mess. You grow deeper in your understanding of theological stuff after you come to Christ and after the Holy Spirit inhabits your soul and illuminates those things gradually over time, not prior to or at the moment of salvation, right? So keep those things really simple. And then lastly, stress the love of God, right? Don't stress you don't want to go to hell. Fear has never been something that works well, right? Fear doesn't work well. Coming to Christ out of fear, is that real salvation? Because I don't want this, I want this. I don't know if that's real love, right? Stress the love of God. Stress how much God loves people, right? How much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know how many people have not heard, Steph? Do you know how many people have never heard from their parents, from people who should have said these things to them, that they were made in God's image, that they're important, that they're beautiful, that they're, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure it's countless.
I mean, it's so many folks who have never heard the fact that God loves you more than anybody could ever love anything ever.
Right.
And you have a way to show it. He showed it because he doesn't just say it, he doesn't scream it. He shows it. Right? Through Jesus' sacrifice for us.
He proved it.
Right. He proves it. And you want to stress the love of God to people, that they are loved and cared for. You do that with your actions. You do that with your words. And you point back to the fact that, you know, I mean, you don't got to quote scripture, but I mean, let's just go with it. John 3:16 is quoted the most when it comes to salvation. It starts off with not you're horrible and you're going to go to hell, so you better turn to Jesus. Right? It starts off with, for God so loved the world. The world there in that scripture means every single person, right? God so loves you. And because God loves you, I love you. And, you know, but stress the love of God. So those are some five quick little tidbits on sharing your faith. I would push back and just say the easiest way to share your faith is to share your story. And so you need to figure out how, everybody listening, you should figure out how you can share your faith story in Jesus. How you came to Jesus, why you came to Jesus. You should be able to share that in long form if it takes, in a long conversation. But you should also have a pared down version where you can share that in a short form, you know. And then also not that, but not just your salvation story, but the ways in which God has been real to you, the ways in which, you know, maybe a calling story or the way God came into this particular situation or just ways in which you've seen the power of the cross working in your life. You should be able to share those stories. And so you should work on knowing this is how I would share this in this short period of time with this particular group of people, right? Mm-hmm. But it's really all about your story. Be prepared to share. Why that verse says, be prepared to give an answer, to share, to defend why you have the hope that you have. Not why Christianity says this is true. Not why my mom and daddy believe it or I grew up with it. Or this is the only way, or the Bible says, but why you have the hope you have. Why is that hope there for you? Why do you know Jesus is real? Why do you feel this way? Why have you given your life to Jesus? The hope that you have. That's a personal. When Peter says this, don't miss that verse when he says it, because it's very personal. He's saying it to a group like it's, you know, everybody's got to share their faith, but it's a very personal thing. Why do you have the hope that you have? and work on being able to share that succinctly, where you're not having to go on and on for 2 hours and not make any sense sharing that story, right? That's what you need to prep and work on. But for the love of God, pastor, please, right? The pastor pleads to you, open your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Have your actions back it up, but open your mouth, right? Share these things. And it can happen all the time. Like, here's a simple way. We'll wrap up in a second. I mean, we went way too long this episode. But here's a simple way. People will say, well, the opportunity never presents itself. Totally not true. Here's one way it will present itself. You go into work on a Monday. You go into school on a Monday, wherever it is. Somebody's going to eventually say to you, so what'd you do this weekend? Right? Well, you can say, well, you know, we went to church and I watched football. Or you could say, yeah, we went to church and the pastor had this amazing message on loneliness. And it really affected me in a profound way. All of a sudden, how much you want to bet that the Holy Spirit opens up some sort of conversation having to do with that? And you've started to lead it towards the gospel right off the bat. Easy way to do those
Instead
things.
Of just casually being like, I went to church and then.
Yeah, and yeah. then we went to church, but then we went to lunch, whatever, you know.
Mexican food.
Even if you go, hey, we went to church, yeah, you should come with us sometimes. Why would they say yes to that invite? It doesn't even make no sense.
It's like,
right?
Why should I come?
Yeah. But if you're like, you know, well, I mean, we've been going through this series on such and such, and man, it really impacted me, you know, those kind of things. So there's all kinds of ways in which you can pop up. You just got to have the mindset to turn the conversation towards the gospel. I heard this from somebody, I can't remember if it was John Piper, John MacArthur, somebody said, you got to be prepared, it might have been Billy Graham, you got to be prepared to turn any conversation towards the gospel. And it is easier to do than you think. You know, it's not somebody going, well, hey, I had a really bad day, and you going, let me tell you about Jesus. That's not it. But you can say, well, you know, I had a bad day too. Like, my last week was a horrible week for me. But, you know, I prayed and I talked to God and, you know, I was reading this particular scripture or I went to church or whatever, and it changed things. You got to be prepared to turn any conversation towards the gospel.
Yep.
Like it is your job, because it is. It is not my job. It's not the pastor's job. It is your job. We say around Union, found people find people.
Mm-hmm.
If you are found, your job is to find. And I think the Holy Spirit makes it very easy because he brings people in front of us all the time. So, Pastor, please, number 7, mm-hmm. Share your faith more often. Open your mouth. For the love of God, please share your faith. I think that there is a whole world of people around you who you have been placed in their life to share the gospel with them. And if you don't do it, who does? Right? So you don't cop out on it. That's it. That's all I got for this one. What do you think, Steph?
I loved it.
So share your faith more often. Please, for the love of God, share your faith more often.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to y'all next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.